Welcome to the Sunday morning services at the Airport Gardens Baptist Church. This is Sunday, January the 9th, 1983. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we do thank Thee for this beautiful day that You provided for us. We thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ who has made this day possible. Help us, dear Lord, to make the most of this day. We pray for our homebound people, Lord, that You bless them and supply their needs, Lord, as they look to Thee. We pray for any, Lord, today that are discouraged and downhearted. We pray Your blessing upon them especially. Pray for those who have lost loved ones. May You bless this service, Father, to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.
Corinthians 5:17 through 21. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not in putting their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We beg you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For He hath made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank Thee for this day, and we thank Thee, Father, that we can be here and hear Thy Word interpreted and put out, Father, in a special way. And we ask that You be with the one, Father, that's bringing the message this morning, that he say the words that touch our hearts and cause us, Father, to continually realize how much we depend upon Thy love and grace. And we ask now, Father, to be with those that are sick and shut in, those that were mentioned here this morning, Father, and those that were not. Bless them, Father, in a special way, and bless, Father, the families that they know Thy ever presence with them. And Father, we ask that You be with those this morning that have had deaths of loved ones, that show them, Father, Thy mercy and grace in a special way. And Father, we ask now that You be with each home represented here today. Bless, direct, and keep them, Father. And Father, we pray that in all things, we be totally committed to Thy will, that we do, Father, the things that You would have us to do. Say, Father, the things that You would have us to say. And conduct, Father, our life in a way that others may see Jesus in us. Be with us now, Father, in all things. This we pray and ask for in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.
In every seat today, we have two Bibles. Except up here on the front, and we have a Bible on each seat. And a Bible on the piano, and a Bible on the organ. We've got 40 Bibles. And these 40 Bibles are in memory of a man that we miss around here. Brother Talman Barker. I thank God for the inspiration that he was to me. And I know that you're thankful to God for the inspiration he was to each one of you who knew him. I want one of his nephews to come to lead us in prayer right now, Brother Lyndon. Would you come up here, Brother Lyndon? We want to have a prayer of dedication of these hymnals. I mean these Bibles, rather, in the seats. That every time that they're used, that Brother Barker's testimony can keep on going right on and on and on. Someone said it like this one time. When I die, don't bury me. He meant by that, don't bury my influence. Don't bury the light that I was here in this world. That's what Revelation says. It says their works do follow them. And I believe Brother Barker's works are keeping right on following him. Every time R.T. gets up to preach, Brother Barker's works are following him. And I'm grateful today for Brother Barker. And after Brother Lyndon leads us in prayer, the choir is going to sing a song, I Know the Bible is True. Brother Barker loved the Word. Come and lead us in prayer, Brother Lyndon.
I'd like to say just a word for a minute.
Yes, sir.
It's all right.
That's right.
I grew up right here in Uncle Tim. That's what I always knew him as. Well, he lived just up the street there. And he meant a whole lot to me. Got a lot of memories. I remember I used to go with him on his candy route one summer when he used to, a long time ago, when he drove a candy truck. He used to play baseball with us, basketball. We had a lot of good memories from his times being around with him there, playing. But I remember him, too, here from being in church. He was very faithful. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. I Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this Lord's Day. We thank you, dear God, for each one here and that we can come out and serve Thee. We just pray, dear God, that we can all receive a blessing from being in Thy house this morning. We just pray for this time now, Lord, that as we dedicate these Bibles to the memory of Uncle Tim, we just pray, dear God, that as they are left in the pews, that they might be read, that they might be well worn, Lord. We just pray, dear God, that we can always remember Him through these Bibles. We just pray, dear God, that you would go with us now and continue to use us, Lord. Help us to be drawn closer to Thee. We just pray, Lord, that you would be with each one of us now as we continue throughout this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
While the choir is coming down, I'd like to read that third stanza. It says, I know the Bible is wholly true, for peace it gave me within. It finds me, comforts me day by day, and gives me victory over sin. One time on the foreign mission field, I read this illustration about a native who sat one day reading the Bible. And someone came up to him and said, you know that stuff that's written in there is not true. God's Word is not true, this fellow said to the man reading God's Word. And you know who was reading God's Word that day? A former cannibal. How many of you know what a cannibal is or who a cannibal is? It's someone who eats people. The missionaries had come to the foreign field and had given God's Word. And the man who had been a cannibal was now a Christian. And the fellow said to the one ridiculing the Bible, if it had not been for God's Word, you would be in my pot now. In other words, he said, I would be eating you if it were not for God's Word. My friend, God's Word today changes people. It changes people when we give it an opportunity to work in our own life. I'm grateful today that we can be witnesses. We can be witnesses for the Lord. Today on this Witness Commitment Day in 1983, we want to speak on the subject of walking worthy of our vocation. If there's never been a time in the history of our nation and the world, it's now when people need to make the Christian life full time. I'm saying by that to live for Christ on the job, in the home, in the classroom, in the community. Live for Christ everywhere. Everywhere. We have two key verses today that we want to look at here in the beginning before we have a word of prayer. And one of them is Ephesians 4 and verse 1. Ephesians 4, 1. This verse says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. And then there is a verse in 1 Peter, chapter 2, and the 9th verse. This is another wonderful verse. 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Walking worthy of our vocation. Our Father, we do thank Thee and praise Your name today for this day that You've given us. Father, we're grateful for loving us and caring for us. Father, for allowing this day to be what it already has been. Father, we ask Your blessing upon the remaining part of this day, remaining part of this service. Father, we pray that we would look to Thee and find in Thee the strength that we need. We know, Father, You're able to help us each one to be a witness, a testimony to the world. Use each one of us, Father, today who is a Christian. And if there are any here, Father, this morning who are still outside of the ark of safety, we pray that this day would be a new beginning where they would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior and Lord. We thank Thee, Father, for loving us and for caring for us in so many ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A few years ago, we had some new member classes for those who have been saved. And one of the statements in the class said this: it takes a lifetime to live the Christian life. It takes a lifetime to live for the Lord. Ephesians 4:1 says to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. I wonder how many of us today, the Christian life is a vocation, a calling. We're Christians 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 12 months a year. It's a vocation. Or is your Christian life just an avocation? A-V-O-C-A-T-I-O-N. You know what an avocation is? Like a hobby that you do in your spare time, like coin collecting or stamp collecting. The Christian life should not be an avocation, but a vocation, a calling. The song says, Jesus is all the world to me. My life, my joy, my all, He is my friend. From day to day, without Him, I would fall. And that's a true song, friends. Without Jesus today in our lives, we'd fall. What does Jesus mean to each one of us? The Bible tells us that we are the children of God, we're heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. You and I today may not be very tall in the eyes of some people. The world often looks down on each one of us, maybe sometimes. In God's sight, we are of great worth. I'm glad for this. Jesus has been made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 30 and 31. We're a child of the King. Friends, I'm glad today that we are His witnesses. We can be His witnesses. We need to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we're called. They're in 1 Corinthians 5:17. Brother Kermit read for us. It says that we are a new creature in Christ Jesus. That we should show forth the praises of Him who hath called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9. Here in Ephesians chapter 4, and turn to that first of all before we go to the second step or the second point. And please feel free to use the Bibles in the pews that we've dedicated to Brother Barker's memory. If you did not bring your Bible today, feel free to use those. As Brother Lindman said, that we want them to be used. In Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 3, we have Paul gives the Ephesian church how they were to walk. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. You know what the word forbear means? To put up with each other. To forbear one another in love. With all lowliness. Meekness and long-suffering. Those are three words that need to be in our vocabulary. forbearing one another, putting up with each other in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's love, there's joy, there's peace. Where the Spirit of the Lord is. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Paul also said in the book of Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10, it says this wonderful verse, Colossians 1:10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's about what the last verse of 1 Peter says. It says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then in 1 Thessalonians, just a book or two over from Colossians, book after Colossians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12, Paul said this, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto His kingdom and glory. First point today is we need to walk worthy. Worthy of the Lord. I might have told you about a fellow at Napier High School when I was teaching there. He had the same name as our principal. And he got in trouble one day and was brought before the principal. You know what the principal said? He said, either change your name. He had the same name as the principal. Or change your ways. I don't know where Paul Caldwell is today, the student. I trust he is living for the Lord somewhere. I trust he is a Christian somewhere. Friends, we need to walk worthy. The name Christian is a very important, a very wonderful name that you and I have today if we're saved. Right now is the time to walk with the Lord and for the Lord, that people may come to know Him. I believe today, friends, that people are watching our walk instead of listening to our talk. Talk is cheap. But walk is costly. Second, our walk not only needs to be worthy, but also we need to walk honestly. In 1 Thessalonians again, in chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In verse 12. That ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. This word honestly means transparent. We have nothing to hide. Walk honestly before the Lord and toward them that are without. In other words, this verse is saying, friends, that you and I need to be genuine. We don't need to be counterfeit. We need to be genuine Christians. We need to be sure that our walk points the unsaved to the Savior. Somebody is watching how I walk today. They're watching how you walk today. We need to walk honestly. One time there was a fellow in prison. He was saved while he was there. And upon leaving, he received a letter from one of his fellow inmates. And that letter said this: "I've been watching you since you became a Christian. I have watched you bow your head in the mess hall as you have prayed over your food. I have watched you as you've been out in the exercise yard. And you did not slip once." As this fellow was getting ready to leave the prison, reading that letter, cold beads of sweat came out on his forehead. He said to himself, "What if I had slipped?" Friend, someone is watching us. The Lord, most of all, is watching us. We need to walk worthy of our vocation. Our Christian life does not need to be a hobby. It's life. Life itself. It's a calling. A calling. We need to walk honestly. Genuine. Be a genuine person. One thing, when I was ordained back in 1966, going on 17 years ago, Brother Charles Wilcox spoke at my ordination. And he said this: "Don't try to copy anybody. Don't try to preach like anyone else. Just let the Lord work through you." Friends, I couldn't try to be anyone else if I wanted to. I just want the Lord to work through me. And let the Lord work through you. You're in 1983. Be a light. Walk honestly toward them that do not know the Lord yet. That's what that word "without" means. Walk honestly toward them that are without. That are without the Lord. That are on the outside of the ark of safety. In Romans 12:13 it says, "Let us walk honestly as in the day." Walk honestly. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, one of our key verses today, we want to look at it right now in more in detail. Peter says here to these Christian people, "But ye are a chosen generation." 1 Peter 2:9. "A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." We need today to show forth the praise of Him who has called us out of darkness into light. In 1 John 1:7, John said, "But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin." During 1983, during this week, during this day even, we need to walk worthy of our vocation. We need to walk honestly as in the day. Walk honestly toward them that are without. The third way we need to walk and being a witness for the Lord is to walk circumspectly. That's a big word. Circumspectly. This word is in the Bible only one time. And it's found in Ephesians 5 and verse 15. Let's read verse 14 also in Ephesians 5, verse 14. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Verse 16, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. We need to walk circumspectly. Some of you young people here today know what circumference means, don't you? The circumference of a circle. That's what part of this word means. It means to look around. To look around you. To walk worthy. To walk honestly. To walk circumspectly. The last two syllables, speckly, is part of spectacles or glasses. To look around as you walk. Somebody is watching. Somebody's watching. The Lord is watching. We may be the only light that someone is going to see this week. We may be the only Bible that someone's going to read this week. But they're reading their lives. And their lives need to point to the Lord. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. The verses that Brother Kermit read for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's 2 Corinthians instead of 1 Corinthians. 5 and verse 17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Do you find it that way in your life? Have old things passed away in each of our lives? Notice in verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ. Jesus could say when He was here on the earth, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. God was in Christ. Jesus was not just another man walking on this earth. He was God, the God-man. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. Not imputing their trespasses unto them, hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. It is, as it were, Jesus taking hold of God the Father's hand with one of His hands and taking hold of the other hand with man. He bridged the gap. He brought God and man back together. That's what the word reconcile means. To make friendly again. Reconcile the world to Himself. We are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. John Sherman Cooper, one of our senators who was in for a long time, became an ambassador when he retired from the senatorship. Friends, you and I are ambassadors. Our citizenship is in heaven. And we take orders today from God, from His Word. We're ambassadors for Christ. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. We need to walk worthy and honestly and circumspectly. Somebody's watching us. How much does our Christian life mean to us? Is it just a hobby, an avocation? Or is it life itself? Is it something we do in our spare time when we have nothing else to do? On this Witness Commitment Day in 1983, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Someone has said, if Christ is worth having, he's worth sharing. He's worth sharing with someone. Have you ever tried to share Christ with someone else? The songwriter says, rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin in the grave. Also, rescue the perishing, duty demands it, strength for thy labor the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently win them, tell the poor wanderer, the Savior has died. Fanny Crosby wrote that song. Rescue the perishing. Song that we had for the choir, Let the Lower Lights Be Burning. There's one wonderful verse that Jesus gave in the Sermon on the Mount I want to give in closing today in Matthew chapter 5. In verse 16 it says, Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You might have come to church this morning still not knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. You've never invited Him in. There's no better time than this morning. In the quietness of this moment, say yes to Jesus. Our Father, we pray as we sing the invitation song this morning that You'd bless. Speak to some precious soul, Lord, today. They will come to know Thee before it's too late. May they invite the wonderful Lord Jesus Christ into their life. In His name we pray. Amen. 391. Must Jesus bear the cross alone? 391. Jesus said one day, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross on Sunday and follow me. Is that what it says? And take up his cross daily on Monday as well as on Sunday. Sometimes the cross may get heavy. And I know this, the Lord's able to help us to bear up under the cross that He's given us. He does not give us a cross to bear and then leave us to carry it by ourselves. This second stanza talks about people who have gone on to be with the Lord. The last stanza talks about us who are still here. Let's sing the last stanza, please.